We've got one huge debt crisis looming and two big mysteries accompanying it as the clock ticks down for Puerto Rico. Why is Puerto Rico's $72 billion debt crisis not having more of an impact on U.S. financial markets? That's mystery number one. And mystery number two, will Puerto Rico have to actually borrow against future payments it can't make to pay a $354 million bill coming due tomorrow? Vicente Feliciano is president of Advantage Business Consulting, an economic consulting firm in Puerto Rico. He joins me now from San Juan. Vicente, can the negotiators agree on the ugly way out of this mess?
I don't think so. I think the polemics of it are such that you will need some intervention by the federal court, either as a first resort or as a way of pushing people towards agreements.
Now, bankruptcy is not an option because of the statutes here, but essentially we are in a bankruptcy zone if at some point Puerto Rico will not be able to pay its obligations, even if it meets this particular deadline. Can the courts enforce a kind of a settlement without resorting to bankruptcy?
As an economist, I can tell you that when there's no money, there's no money. So even if the people of Puerto Rico would want to pay, if they don't have the money to pay, if the government doesn't have the money, we are in bankruptcy territory.
What does this look like in terms of defaults and financial crises of a localized nature that we might be familiar with in this hemisphere?
Well, think of Detroit. Detroit had its economic model collapse, and so at one point it was necessary to go through debt restructuring, government spending cuts, and reinventing of itself. And I think that while Puerto Rico's situation is not as dire as Detroit, it certainly looks closer to Detroit 2010 than it looks to New York in the 1970s or Washington in the 1990s. It is a problem of economic model ceasing to function and the need to reinvent the jurisdiction.
So consensus here is going to mean that everyone's going to have to give up on the former economic model, which allowed for borrowing and assumed that there was some kind of federal guarantee behind the bonds, which, of course, is not the case. And then people are going to have to see that a new model, including restructuring, is the only way out of this. And then it will be like Detroit has come to that same sort of consensus. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that Detroit based its economy on three major auto manufacturers, and the decline of those manufacturers led to the decline of Detroit's finances. Puerto Rico based its economy on federal tax incentives. This was phased out in 2006, and since then, Puerto Rico has not been able to find its footing. That is what needs to change.
Who's going to hurt here? Who takes a haircut if there is restructuring?
Well, on the one hand, bondholders will be hurt. They will not be paid in full. On the other hand, Puerto Ricans are already hurting. There's immigration. Population contraction this year is at Detroit levels, close to 2%. $300 million in tax refunds from taxes filed last April have not been paid because the government is using it to pay bondholders and to run government operations. And because there's little investment in infrastructure, last summer there was no ability to handle a drought, and San Juan households had 2 days of dry taps for each day of running water. So everybody's getting hurt, and eventually the bondholders will also get hurt.
So whether this payment is met on December 1st or not, something down the road is going to have to show the way out of this, and everyone will slowly come to an agreement that it may be an ugly way out, but it's the only way. Vicente, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Vicente Feliciano is president of Advantage Business Consulting. It's an economic consulting firm based in San Juan, Puerto Rico.